this is a podcast for anyone who is new to prepping. And this was spurred by a phone call I had today from someone whose name you might recognize. Someone is very prominent. And they called me and asked for my prepping advice. And so I spent some time with them on the phone to walk them through the very basics of preparedness. And I was a little bit surprised that they didn't have much familiarity with this topic. But it reminded me that many people are now new to prepping because in years past, they thought that they didn't need to worry about it. And maybe this is where you're coming from too, listening to this podcast. Most people believe that prepping or preparedness or survival was some kind of a fringe activity that maybe militia people did, or, you know, kooks or what have you. Those are the kinds of things that preppers have been called over the years. But as we've learned over the last 20 plus months, prepping is something that everybody needs to practice. It really means self-reliance, resilience, adaptation, having supplies on hand so that you don't actually add to the panic when the store shelves are empty. And after the, you know, the great toilet paper shortage of 2020 that happened, I'm surprised that everybody wasn't a prepper after that, but a lot of people still weren't. That's okay. You know, the timing's different for everybody. But right now, people are seeing empty shelves across the nation. There's a hashtag that's trending, Empty Shelves Joe, you know, to blame Joe Biden for the empty shelves. Of course, it's not just Joe Biden. It's the governors. It's the lockdown policies. It's the vaccine mandates. This is what's causing empty shelves. It's also, by the way, California laws that took rigs off the road, you know, the trucks, the transport trucks. If they're older than 3 years, they're not allowed to operate with the ports and the containers in California. So there are actually some laws that are supposed to protect the environment that are halting transportation. You know, welcome to the Green New Deal. It looks a lot like Venezuela, empty shelves and hyperinflation. You know, that's what people are starting to realize. So all of a sudden, a lot of people are becoming preppers. And they feel like they're late to the game. This is what I'm getting from multiple people. They feel like they're behind the schedule. And I got to say, they're right. And if you're coming to this right now and you're thinking, gosh, I need to be a prepper. I need to realize that maybe I need backup water supplies, food supplies. Do I need a water filter? You know, do I need these things? Suddenly, if you're thinking those thoughts right now and you don't already have those things, you know, there's good news and there's bad news. The bad news first is you are behind schedule. The good news is you can still catch up, at least for now. But if you put it off much longer, I don't know if you can catch up. I'm kind of thinking that around Thanksgiving, maybe between Thanksgiving and Christmas, things really, really break down in terms of, you know, food supplies and deliveries and even Amazon deliveries and so on. I think the carriers like FedEx, UPS, and United States Postal Service are going to be in a very dire situation, and things are going to get bad. And people who have not prepared by that time are going to have a very difficult time getting prepared. So I hope to give you a little bit of advice right now to help you get ahead of the game. And the first thing to understand is that a lot of the problems with the supply chain are structural problems with the way our society is currently set up. We have a lot of specialization. We have food centralization. So a lot of corporate farming, centralized food production that has single points of vulnerability and failure. We don't really have a lot of food redundancy. And so for most of our lives, most of us have been able to live in a society where people didn't need to think that much about prepping. Because, well, the grocery stores always had more food. And a lot of people could have very sparse pantries because they could just go to a restaurant or go to the grocery store. They could get the food they need every day or two, and that was it. And they weren't into canning or drying food or stockpiling food. And in fact, many people thought those ideas were kind of kooky. And so we had a culture, well, we live in a culture that has, for all these years, shunned the idea of prepping. But as that was happening, by the way, the federal government itself was engaged in deep prepping. The government has built, I don't know how to tell you any easier way, but massive underground storage facilities, caves. Caves and tunnels and underground bases and so on. And these exist all over the country. And it's not even a conspiracy theory. You can see some of the entrances to these caves in many places, like the limestone caves in Kansas City, Missouri. You just drive by them right on the highway. I've seen them myself. So there are caves all over the country that are used for long-term storage, basically cities inside mountains. The government has built these. There are a lot of deep bunkers. Some go down 10 to 20 stories underground. There are missile silos. You've probably seen those, and those are very deep. And some of those have been converted into bunkers and storage facilities. There are private companies that build underground bunkers. But the government has at least a decade of supplies underground. And so if you think about what the government is actually doing versus what the government tells you to do, it's a very different narrative. So the government itself has 10 years of supplies, but if you go to ready.gov, they tell the public to have 3 days of supplies, you know, in case there's a storm, in case there's a hurricane, in case there's a power grid outage or what have you. But the smart people have been following more of what the government does instead of what the government says, because the government is prepping for what's called COG operations, or continuity of government, which means long-term power grid failure, long-term infrastructure problems that could last for many years. And if you look at the number of things that can cause that, you know, what can take down the power grid for years? It's a pretty long list, and it includes space weather events such as a solar flare that can take down the U.S. power grid for many, many years, a decade even. Or one EMP weapon launched by China or North Korea that's detonated over North America would take out most of the U.S. power grid, and it would stay down for many years. Or one volcano going off, or a supervolcano, like Yellowstone is a supervolcano. But it could happen anywhere in the world, and it would eject so much material into the atmosphere that it would block sunlight for a year to 2 years, and it would cause global crop failures for 1 to 2 years. And this has happened. This happened in the early 1800s, for example. It was even known as the year without a summer. You can look that up, the year without a summer. I forgot what year it was. It was a volcano that went off and crops failed for the next year. And so you have global famine because of that. Imagine if there's no food for a year. Most people won't survive. So common people or everyday people have been living in an environment of abundance, an environment of cheap oil, which results in cheap food, an environment of readily available fossil water, that is water pumped out of aquifers underground, and that's coming to an end. People have lived in an era of kind of easy money because of all the money printing policies that the U.S. has been under since 1971, when Richard Nixon took us off the gold standard and allowed runaway money printing. So since 1971 to today, it's 50 years, and people have been living in times of artificial abundance, cheap food, cheap energy, cheap money, and it has seemed like things are good. That era is coming to an end. The money, the purchasing value of the money is collapsing. Food inflation is already happening quite rapidly. Many food items are up 20, 30, 40, even 50% in the last year, and it's going to get a lot worse. And so prepping suddenly has become, and the supply chain is collapsing. Don't forget about that, which means that there are long delay times to get many things like food. You know, there was even a school system in Alabama. This was covered by AL.com. I covered this in my podcast, where the school can't get food anymore, you know, the cafeteria. And they sent out a letter to parents to say, hey, parents, we can't get food. You should probably just feed your kids at home and keep them home. So you have a school district telling parents to basically start engaging in homeschooling because we have no food at the school any longer. So that's happening now. And similar things are happening in other school districts and other institutions across the country, universities, prison systems. You know, food's hard to come by, and it's going to get a lot worse. So suddenly prepping makes a lot of sense to a lot of people who may have previously, you know, teased preppers or thought it was a kooky thing to do. I just want to tell you that those of us in the prepping community, and I've been prepping for over 20 years, we are happy to invite you to the realm of resiliency. We're not going to mock you for not prepping. even though, you know, a lot of people mocked us for prepping all these years, we're just happy that more people are realizing this, because we know that the more people we get prepped, the more resilient society is as a whole. In other words, if we can help anyone, you and others, become more prepared, then we know that you won't panic when the grocery store shelves go full Venezuela, just completely empty. And that's probably coming. But you won't panic because you've got your own backup supplies. And the fewer people panic, the better off we all are in society. So preparedness is actually a pathway to a more resilient, more peaceful, more lawful, more civil society. And none of us want to be part of any kind of, you know, we don't want to witness people losing it, fighting over Doritos in the parking lot, you know, shooting each other for bags of rice or whatever. And if you're part of that, or if anybody's part of that, that's a failure of non-preparedness. You know, if you find yourself fighting over a bag of Cheetos in a Walmart parking lot, you know, you've made some bad decisions somewhere along the way. So join the preparedness community and you can make good decisions, and you don't have to even be there in that parking lot, because you've got supplies at home, and it's not Cheetos. You've got, you know, buckets of rice or quinoa or beans or lentils or freeze-dried meats even, or freeze-dried organic fruits and vegetables, and you can make nutritious, delicious meals instead of, you know, scrapping over junk food. That's a sad story, to be scrapping over junk food in a parking lot somewhere. So we invite you to the preparedness community. There's a lot of resources on Brighteon.com. There are many preparedness channels. I've got a website also, prepwithmike.com. You can find a lot of good information about preparedness there. And also, I want you to know that people who are into preparedness are not kooks or wackos or extremists by any means. The people that I know who are preppers are surgeons, attorneys, doctors, law enforcement officers. I know a lot of people who are preppers, and they are, you know, high income professionals, and they're just into prepping. And I know a lot of veterans who are into prepping because they've seen some crazy stuff on deployment, and they know how quickly society can collapse. In fact, veterans are really some of the best preppers because they're resilient, they're adaptive, they know how to get by with very little, because they've had to do that on their deployments. So preppers are going to be the ones that have the answers and have the supplies, and also have the ability to defend not only their own supplies, but also communities and neighborhoods. So it's a good idea to connect with preppers. You're going to find that most preppers are very polite, honest, ethical people, the kind of people you'd like to have as your friends. And feel free to ask them questions. They'll probably be very happy to hear that you're interested in becoming more prepared, and they're probably happy to help you. Most of them are, I would say. You know, don't interrupt ham operators in the middle of a ham sandwich. But other than that, I'm kidding, of course. I kid the ham operators. But other than that, everybody's cool. So thank you for listening. I'm Mike Adams here, the Health Ranger, naturalnews.com. I also publish a site called survival.news. If you want to check that out, there's a lot of good preparedness information there. Survival.news. Or just go to Brighteon.com and watch all the prepping videos. You're going to find a lot there. So thanks for listening, and good luck. It's going to get crazy, but if you're prepared, you can make it through.